So I want to begin my sermon this morning by poking fun at us members of the clergy, because whenever a bunch of priests get together and we're all at clergy conference or a diocesan council and we've got limited time to interact, there's a question we always like to ask one another, and that's, how are things going at the church? And what I've noticed, the pattern that troubles me is that there is tremendous pressure to give a very specific answer to that question. Busy. Busy, right? Things are crazy, we say, feeling very, very important. Busy, busy, busy. I've got a friend who likes to remind me that whenever someone tells you how busy they are, what they really want you to know is how important they are. And I think my friend is right, that our desire for people to think that we are busy and our need to feel important, that these two go hand in hand. In fact, Brené Brown argues that one of the things that makes American culture unique is that for us, exhaustion has become a status symbol. And she's very quick to point out how scary it can feel to slow down, because part of us believes that who we are is tied to what we do, and that a significant life, a meaningful life, must also be a busy life. Now, I do know that life can be very, very hectic, and sometimes the goal really is just to survive. I've got a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old right now, and I get that phase of life. I also know that if we're caring for a sick relative, or if we're working 3 different jobs, or if someone really depends on us to get it all done, that is a special season of life. And so that's not what I question. I don't question having a lot to do. But what I do wonder about is our desire for other people to perceive us as busy. I question that part of us that might feel a little embarrassed if we actually got 9 hours of sleep a night. That part of us that might feel guilty for spending an afternoon doing nothing save resting in God's good creation. I question that part of us that feels that whatever we're doing isn't enough. That part of us that believes that we need to do more or achieve more or accomplish more in order to feel like a worthwhile human being. In other words, what I question, or more accurately, what I think today's gospel calls into question, is that part of us that wants to stay distracted by our many tasks so that we don't have to feel the anxiety or fear that may surface if we actually dared to slow down. So in today's gospel, we have 2 sisters. There is Mary, who sits at the Lord's feet, and she spends the day being present to Jesus, to herself, to the moment. And then there's Martha. And Martha, she is a good and responsible person. She is an excellent host. And she is only doing what her culture expects her to do. And Martha plays the host very, very well. She runs from chore to chore, making sure that Jesus and the other guests have what they need to rest. But of course, when Martha complains about her sister's failure to help, Jesus reminds Martha of something that I think we all need to hear, something I know I personally need to hear every single day, which is that in this Christian life, there's really only one thing that God asks us to do, and that's lay our burdens down at the feet of our Lord and to rest in the grace of God's presence. And so I wonder if you have heard Jesus give you permission to do just that, to lay down whatever burdens it is that you're carrying, whatever it is that distracts you, and to rest in the grace of our Lord's presence, to know that everything is okay, even when it feels like life is not okay, and that our Lord has your life and this whole world in his hands. Because in today's reading from Colossians, Paul reminds us of something incredibly meaningful and profound, namely that everything in heaven and earth, everything we see, everything we taste, everything we touch, everything we experience, that it's all been created through Christ and for Christ. That we have been created through Christ and for Christ, and that the presence of our Lord surrounds us on every side. And you know, what I love about being here in this Episcopal Chapel of the Transfiguration in Grand Teton National Park, that has a lot of syllables in it, is that everything here bears witness to this truth. I mean, to simply be here this morning, to rest in this space, if only for 1 hour, is to intuitively know that God created us and our world for a purpose that is unimaginably good. In fact, being here this morning reminds me of what the Bible says God did after God created this world, that on the seventh day, God rested. And today, Jesus tells Martha and Jesus tells us that it is okay for us to rest in God's sufficiency, to rest in God's goodness, to rest in the knowledge that the God who created the Tetons, that He has also created us, and that this same God is bringing all things to their perfect end. Because in those moments that our heart does believe this powerful and good news, that is what allows us to lay down whatever burdens it is that we carry around every day. Now, St. Augustine was a late convert to Christianity and a very learned man, and he was once asked what it was that made Jesus' wisdom superior to all the other teachers he had spent his life studying. And Augustine replied, "I've read Plato and Cicero's sayings that are very wise and very beautiful, but I never read in either one of them, 'Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.'" Rest. Not sleep, not relaxation, not optimism. These are all good things we should strive for, but rest, a deep confidence in our gut that in the end, God will have the last word. Or as Julian of Norwich once put it, a belief that all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be exceeding well. And at the end of the day, we're about to have a baptism. We're going to baptize Rowan Grace into the body of Christ. And at the end of the day, this, I believe, is what baptism offers. Baptism is God's way of saying to each and every one of us, your life is bound up in mine. And no matter what happens to you on this earthly pilgrimage, no matter what happens, I am with you, and I will see to it that your story in the fullness of time ends in a manner that is exceeding well. Hearing Jesus speak this intimate word into the depth of our heart, this alone is what can allow us to completely and truly rest. And so, God, give us grace to hear Jesus' words spoken not just to Martha today, but also to us, that special word of love that will allow us to slow down, to choose the better part, and to truly rest in the knowledge that we are safe, that we're known, that we are loved, and that we are always, 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 but only always in the presence of Jesus, so that, like Mary, we can be present. Present to Jesus, present to our own life, and present to the gift of each and every moment. Amen. Amen.